What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
B&E with you. It's a gonna be a pretty Monday. It's gonna be some rain later in the week, tomorrow even. But your start to your work week, 59 degrees right now, and I think the big story is breezy. It'll be windy this afternoon with some cloudy skies. So be advised of that as you're up and out on a Monday morning. It is Super Bowl week. We will start really drilling down and diving in. Our man Super Bowl Stu Myrick has got our spot on Radio Row. You know, last time they were in Arizona for the Super Bowl, we were out there. Got to see Tiger Woods over at the WGC event. They had that golf tournament this weekend.
Got to see Emmett's wife.
That was a bad moment for you.
But that was a highlight for you. There was a highlight and a bad moment for me.
The show went silent for a while.
Thought it was Beyonce.
You did. But that's a fun week. But we don't make the trip out anymore, but Stu does. So he's there on Radio Row. He will be posting us up with great guests and conversations throughout the course of the week as we get you ready for Eagles and Chiefs. Jalen Hurts v. Patrick Mahomes. Interesting that both quarterbacks are not going to be 100% healthy in this game, and that will have an impact in this football game if either of them takes a shot, right? Jalen Hurts with the shoulder, he admitted even in the win over the 49ers that he's not 100% with that shoulder injury that he suffered way back in December in a game against the Bears. And we know Patrick Mahomes is dealing with an ankle injury. Both will be out there, but it's one of those that, you know, something like we saw with Brock Purdy, something could change the course of the game pretty quickly if someone takes a shot or someone takes a re-injury kind of thing. That has to be a factor in the game. But if they both stay healthy, I think we're in line for a great Super Bowl. Great Super Bowl coming up with Nick Sirianni and a really talented Eagles team. Andy Reid off a week off.
I got the Eagles by 6 early on a Monday.
Well, remember when the Chiefs were last in the Super Bowl and the week of the Super Bowl, his son got in that car wreck and drunk driving and killed somebody. And he's in jail now for that, by the way. But that was against Tom Brady, and that became a real distraction to that football team and to Andy Reid personally. Obviously, it would be a distraction to anyone. And to have your son and have that type of tragedy and your son involved in it. And then they went down and played the Buccaneers on their home field in Tampa and really didn't play well. And their offensive line couldn't block anybody. Remember that?
No.
Patrick Mahomes running for his life that whole game because they had all kinds of injuries up front. And I don't think we got the best of Patrick Mahomes in that game. And Tom Brady won his Super Bowl in Tampa. But that's credit to the Chiefs because they've rebuilt that offensive line since that game. They've also rebuilt their secondary through the draft. And this is a very even matchup of football teams. I mean, you have probably the better team and roster in Philadelphia. But then you got that dude 15.
Yeah.
That dude.
And that dude can play in these big games.
Also talked about a little bit last week, Buck, on Friday, actually, about Jalen Hurts. And I know Cowboy fans hate to hear this, but if they win that game, be ready, because Jalen Hurts is going to become the face of this league. I mean, he is...
they're only going to build more around him.
Yeah, well, and he's a likable guy. He's a handsome guy. I mean, the girls all like him, but he sells on Madison Avenue. He sells to everyone, and he's a hardworking dude, son of a football coach. I think he very quickly becomes one of, if not the face of the league. If they win this game. And
you don't have to worry about him running the ball. Don't worry about his shoulder because he's running and taking off. With that Kansas City's defense, the two linebackers can fly, but Jalen Hurts is also going to take off. When he has an opportunity to run, this is not going to be – he's going to take every opportunity in the world to win this Super Bowl. And to me, he's going to be just like he was early in the season. He's just going to do the things that he did.
Is there any word on that the Eagles offensive lineman that had like – rape charges come out last week. Have you heard about that?
No. Is that a backup?
I think it's a starter.
Eagles offensive lineman. I didn't see that. I'll have a look.
Stills.
Oh, he's a defensive lineman.
No, I'm pretty sure he's an offensive lineman. I'll do some research to make sure. I definitely saw it was a story though.
All right. Well, we'll see where that goes. And let me ask you. Media day tomorrow night.
I know you got to get to the news, but let me ask you guys real quick. When we go on for the Cowboys. They're working the offseason. Now, they got Tyron Smith, they got to take care of Zeke. One of them is staying, one of them is going. I think Tyron Smith is going. I mean, I think he's staying, I'm sorry. I think Jerry will keep him. just on the thought that maybe he can get 10 games out of him. Guy's played in 17 games in three seasons. You can't keep an old war horse around at running back. You just can't. Zeke's got to go.
Well, he wants to restructure his contract and stay.
Okay, well, here's $150 million.
Well, look, I mean, this is one of those where there's really not a great alternative, and this is why you heard Stephen Jones at the Senior Bowl last week talking about extending Dak Prescott, like extending the contract, because people are ready to be rid of Dak Prescott, but the Cowboys are ready to extend him, and it's really for the cap flexibility we talked about. If you look at their cap, it's a mess, because Dak Prescott costs more against their cap than any other quarterback in the National Football League right now, and they need to lessen that. They need to minimize that because they do have to try to re-sign Tony Pollard. They don't know what they're going to do with Dalton Schultz, and this is a quarterback who needs more weapons, not less.
Right, for sure.
But how do you keep them all if he's making 22% of your salary cap? They have to minimize that and give themselves a chance.
Are you going to pay him on the back end?
Well, yeah, they'll just move it back. I mean, they'll renegotiate it, lessen the hit this year, but it'll make it a longer deal, and you know, that's what we've seen them do quite often, but it's why their cap is where it's at, because they've done that with DeMarcus Lawrence, they've done that with Tyron Smith and Zach Martin, and eventually that credit card bill comes due when you keep pushing those things back, and the Cowboys are trying to capitalize on a current window, and that's why they're going all in with Mike McCarthy calling plays and promoting Brian Schottenheimer.
I was saying a tie, but Tyron Smith just keeps getting like these old people injuries, you know, where it's not a total reconstruction of the knee, but an ingrown toenail that gets grown in there and he misses four games. I mean, he gets the weirdest injuries now, you know, labrum and all this other. I mean, it's just not the big injuries. It's just when you get to be that age at tackle-y, one little thing is you're going to miss four games. It's not like you miss a game or a half a game, but you still, when he's healthy enough at tackle, he's pretty damn good.
He is, but then he's been a Hall of Fame player. But again, the Cowboys have a lot of issues as far as that goes of how to retain the talent.
You can't retain Zeke. I mean, he can take a cut, but no.
I assume he's going to be there. And the problem is, how do you keep Tony Pollard and Zeke? But again, the Cowboys offseason will begin.
They had to see a running back at the Senior Bowl that you can get in a third or fourth round and say, okay.
Well, they could have done that years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, before when they re-signed Zeke to the big contract, they could have made that decision then. And not get, you know, cap themselves.
Well, they have learned from that, have they not? Don't you think they've learned?
I don't know.
No.
No, you don't?
No.
I don't know. And as we talk about the Eagles maybe winning a Super Bowl and, you know, Jalen Hurts in your own division becoming maybe the face of the league, that's a challenge because they're not going anywhere in Philadelphia. Let's start with the headlines, though, to get your 7 o'clock headlines, trending topics, including a monster trade coming out of Dallas. UBO Business Services. Yeah, a lot of breaking news out of the Metroplex this weekend, including the Cowboys hiring Brian Schottenheimer to be their new offensive coordinator. But, of course, Mike McCarthy will be calling plays in 2023. In the NBA, a mega trade from the Mavericks. Word yesterday the Mavs have outbid the Lakers and the Suns to acquire Kyrie Irving from the Brooklyn Nets. They are sending starters Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, and multiple draft picks to the Niners or to the Nets to make it happen. It's a high-risk, potentially high-reward move to acquire the enigmatic star to play alongside Luka Doncic. NBA insider Mark Stein reports the Mavs have not promised the free agent to be this summer a new contract. He says the Mavs plan on watching the season play out before discussing anything long-term with Irving. Texas basketball, first leg of that Longhorns two-game trip into the state of Kansas was a tale of two halves on Saturday, but a victorious one. Rodney Terry's 10th-ranked Longhorns shook off a poor first half to rally for an ultra-impressive 69-66 win at 8th-ranked K-State. Win avenges an earlier home loss to the Wildcats and secures their spot atop the Big 12 standings at 8-2. First 20 minutes, not great. Longhorns made just 7 of 23 shots. They were down 14 at one point, actually down 11 at the intermission. But as they have throughout this season, they didn't panic. They regrouped and surged in the second half. Went on a 19-9 run early in the second to cut the deficit. And then with 12 minutes to go and down the stretch, it was Christian Bishop, Jabari Rice making clutch play after clutch play to seal the victory. Bishop scored all 14 of his points in the second half. Also grabbed 6 boards, had 2 blocks, and 2 steals. The second of which was the game-clinching steal with 13 seconds to go. Rice added 14 points and 10 rebounds off the bench, including 8 of 9 from the foul line for a happy head coach, Rodney Terry.
We turned the ball over too many times in the first half as well. I mean, we had 11 turnovers. We watched all our turnovers. I mean, a lot of those were on us, you know, in terms of just, you know, trying to make tough plays when we shouldn't have. Just make the simple play and make the easy play. And they got a chance to see those. We also saw the second chance opportunities with the rebounds. So I thought we cleaned all that up. We really came out in the second half and sat down and guarded. And then we worked the offense. We didn't turn the ball over. We didn't try to make home run plays. We made simple base hits.
They certainly did. Longhorns now a game up on second place Iowa State in the Big 12 standings. Two full games ahead of four others, including their opponent tonight, the Kansas Jayhawks. They'll square off with Kansas at Fog Island Fieldhouse. Big Monday hoops for the Longhorns. 8 o'clock tip, 7:30 pregame right here on the Horn. Vic Schaefer's Texas women also alone at the top of the Big 12. They beat Kansas at Fog Island Fieldhouse on Saturday, 68-65. Deanna Gaston led the Horns with 24. Sonya Morris added 14. Horns now 9-2 in the conference. Also on Saturday, Texas baseball team hosted their annual Fan Fest and alumni game at Dish Falk Field. That's where the current Longhorns played to a 4-4 tie with the alumni. Texas will open their season in 2 weeks at the College Baseball Showdown at Globe Life Field in Arlington, 17th through the 19th of February. Horns will face Arkansas, Missouri, and Vanderbilt over 3 days in Arlington. College football, after hiring Notre Dame's Tommy Reese to be their offensive coordinator on Friday, Nick Saban and Alabama have tabbed Miami defensive coordinator Kevin Steele to run their defense in Tuscaloosa this year.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, so a busy weekend, great win for the Longhorns. Rodney Terry doing one heck of a job with this team. They don't panic. They're so veteran. I mean, you see that lineup they had out there in the last 6-7 minutes. I mean, you got, you know, when it's Jabari Rice and Christian Bishop and Marcus Carr and Timmy Allen, and these are all sixth-year players. I mean, these are all super veteran players. Brock Cunningham is a sixth-year player who's going to play a seventh, by the way. I mean, they just have so much experience, and I think that's you see that paying off in these games late because they don't panic. They stay within themselves, and boy, Jabari Rice has just been so critical to this team with the struggles of Tyrese Hunter. And then Christian Bishop was just a man possessed in the second half of that game. Somebody lit a fire under him because he came to play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get why he can't do that in the first half. He needs to get cranked up a little sooner. There needs to be music or something that somebody plays for him.
Well, I know we said last week that, man, if they get behind double digits on the road, they're not coming back. Well, they did.
Well, they got the best bench in the Big 12.
Yep, best bench, best depth, most experience in the Big 12. I think we're seeing that, TCU's very experienced too, but they're pretty close as far as experience level, but TCU's dealing with a big injury to Mike Miles Jr., their leading scorer and best player. He's still out with that hyperextended knee.
And thank goodness that was just a hyperextension, by the way.
There's good news on him. He's going to be back in a couple weeks, maybe even sooner, for the Horned Frogs, and they need him for sure. But, you know, we know this conference is brutal, but to be sitting atop it at 8-2, the other thing we talk about is if you can win all your home games and then split on the road, you're going to be 12-6 and you're going to be, or 12-5 or 13-5, you're going to be in a good place. And remember, the Longhorns lost at home to K-State, so they went back and got that win. So now they've evened that deal, and, you know, tonight they play Kansas, but, you know, if you could find a win there, it would be enormous to go 2-0 in the Sunflower State. But if you lose, you come home and you still get Kansas on your floor later this year. You still get Iowa State in your building. You still have to go to Waco. There's going to be some tough road trips, but man, something tonight. And if you saw Kansas play on Saturday against Iowa State, they're a beatable team, and they're 6-4 now in the conference after getting off to a red hot start. The defending national champions are looking like a team you can get now. Are they going to play like they did at Iowa State? Probably not for Bill Self at home at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. But the Longhorns have won 3 of the last 4 against the Jayhawks head up. So fun game tonight, 8 o'clock tip. Longhorns, you got to feel like they got some house money going here to beat Baylor. Turn around, go on the road, beat K-State when you're down 14. And then here you are at Fog Allen. They've got to have a lot of confidence
tonight.
And if you
get this game.
And they didn't come home, right? They just stayed in Kansas. They drove over to the 80 miles down to Lawrence and practiced at Fog Allen Fieldhouse yesterday. They'll do school from the road.
There you go.
And as opposed to flying all the way home and then flying back, this just makes a lot more sense.
No, you just stay right there.
And can I make, before we dive into our coach's corner, can I mention Craig? Because Craig Way, you know, everybody had some rough issues last week with power and the ice. Craig, he went to he had the big Monday game with Baylor. Then he had to fly out to Lubbock, I think, to do the Texas Tech women's game for Texas. Then he was back, and then the ice hit. And then he tried to go to Morgantown to do the Texas women's game at West Virginia. And if you hear from Craig, that took like 3 days. Because they had a hard time getting out of Austin. Then when they were done with the game, they got stuck in Houston, had to bus back from Houston. And then when they got back here, Craig immediately got on the plane to go to Kansas to do the Kansas State game, and he stayed up there. He'll be on the show today, light the tower at 10 o'clock on equipment. I got a note from him last night. But, man, tip of the cap to the voice of the Longhorns because that dude has logged a week
the road. And plus he fell on his ass 3 times here during the course of
– Did he? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
by the way, the only thing that would shut this whole thing down here in this radio station, if Craig Way would have hit his dome and been in the hospital – You and I, if we fall and we break something or our face gets bashed in, it just goes on. Next, who's next? Who's next? Craig Wade goes down, this thing shuts down.
Yeah, he did fall, slipped out of his
three truck. Times.
3 times he did. I heard about the first one.
Oh no, he went down 3 times. Hit his elbow. You know, they had to help him out there. The women's trainers had to help him out. He got through that. I don't know if he had a sling on or whatever, but he hit his elbow pretty good. That bursa sac. I mean, he popped that thing.
Ouch! And he's been stuck in buses and planes, trains, and automobiles for Seaway during it because the winter storm was not isolated to Texas. I mean, that thing was throughout the Midwest.
Oh no, it went down to Louisiana.
Everybody, when they were in West Virginia, they had major weather issues. I'm sure it wasn't beautiful in Kansas this weekend, but big win for Texas. Big win for the Texas women as well on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Let's dive into our Coach's Corner, brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations.
Audiovisual Consultations and Tom McKay, the really smart guys who never make you feel stupid.
Never do, never do. And Coach's Corner, the coach is back, and we're back up and running, Buck. We are fully operational. Have our heat back, have our power back. You know, as we said last week, if you're able to hear us on 104.9, we were living on diesel power generation. And our, you know, Ty was sleeping without heat at his house, and then he would come in here, and it would be colder in here than it was at his house. Because it was, you know, 30 degrees outside. We didn't have heat, but we labored through it. Now, how did you, you took days off, and so you ended
Dude,
up...
Dude, it didn't matter. If I had days on, I wasn't coming in here.
I know.
You know, my life is more important than this radio show. Sorry. That's just the way it goes in my life right now with 7 grandkids and a wife. That it's I'm not going to die for this deal. I'd try my best, but uh-uh. That was dangerous last week. A couple people got killed. Ty's car got, I mean, what if Ty's in his car and that comes through the top of the roof and hits that dude in the head? Like I said, the only thing that would stop this deal is if Craig Wade was in the hospital. Oh, show's over. Everybody shut it down. But for you and I, it just goes on. Next, who's next? Who's next? But I'm glad Dave and got that stuff. But I wasn't going to risk my life. I did the show
from home on Wednesday.
Oh, but it is nasty after that.
Well, yeah, because I took equipment on Tuesday noticing because we drove in on Tuesday morning and it was slippery. That was the morning of all the collisions. I had the 10-car pileup and the fatality.
Yeah, and then
people realized by Wednesday it was going to be worse, so everybody stayed home Wednesday, so I did the show from the house.
And just remember, I know how to fall. Oh. So Craig Way hasn't gone to my school yet. So he hit his elbow. How the hell he hit his elbow? What is he doing? Tua.
Well, I mean, so I did the show from the house on Wednesday, and then because we lost internet, I mean, the equipment wouldn't work from the house because we lost our capability to connect. So drove in here Thursday, drove in here Friday, and... by Friday, the weather was fine as far as the roads.
Oh, yeah.
But made it work, made it happen. Hopefully you have recovered and gotten through and clean up. And, boy, there's a lot of the sound of the neighborhood was chainsaws over the weekend.
Chainsaws. And I don't know if you heard some of that stuff, the cedar and some of those oaks cracking and popping. Oh. Sound like shotgun blasts. Oh, man. That is a scary deal.
A texter texted in and said some people still might not have power till the 12th.
I know. That was what Austin Energy said. I mean, they're having to rebuild.
And thank you to Austin Energy and Pertinalis for the people that are out there working on those poles. Look out.
Yeah, it's a
I mean, those
big
trees.
Job.
Yeah, that's a big job.
Well,
I appreciate it.
With you, when you were out, Monty was going to come in. Monty Williams, our great friend. And
come on
great,
his leg.
Well, he calls me on Wednesday and says, hey, we just had our big 250 or 300 year oak tree split apart and came down on top of our house. So this is a crisis. I'm not gonna be able to come in. I was like, well, sure, you don't need to come in. You're good. But I know he was disappointed because, you know those trees. Also, had my buddy Wes Murray with Grande Equipment. He told me out in Dripping Springs he lost partial or a lot of 40 different trees on his property, and he said his realtor said that's probably $50,000 in property value. To lose those trees, I mean, that's people buy homes.
And by the way, you're gonna have to clean up that.
Oh,
that madness.
They did the cleanup, but like Monty's, that's a 300 year oak tree that was one of the centerpieces of his house. Right, it's just so beautiful, the shade, the canopy that it creates. And I know that a lot of people listening dealt with that over the weekend, and you hate to see it because it does lessen your value. And this is a once in a. I mean, I've been here 33 years. I've never seen anything like it. I don't think
happened in 2007.
Not that bad. Not like we just saw, where you, if you were standing out in our parking lot, you could just hear the shotgun blast. I mean,
all the stuff just cracking
unbelievable.
Away.
Unbelievable. I mean, I've seen ice storms, but I've never seen that. I don't think anybody has as far as the tree damage and the accumulation of
heavy. The deal with us is now I got to get a generator because you got to have that water pulled up. I can do the flashlight thing. I can even do the heat thing because I Mama can't do the water thing.
Water.
She's got to have water now.
Do you have a pump?
I got a pump. So that's on electric, so I need to get the generator that when that goes out, that generator says, okay, let's just pull that water up. And like I said, I've lived back east. I can deal with the cold. But I can't deal without the water either because I smell like a goat. I smell just like a little baby goat. Uh-huh. I was awful.
A little gamey at the end?
I was game. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Come on. And then I got out there in that smoke yesterday, firing that thing up, and didn't sleep a wink because all I kept thinking was, did I put the fire out? Did I make sure that every ember is out? I said, all this brush is all around here. So I kept looking out the window like a goof. Like, nope, there's no big fire out here. And driving, woke up again, looked out the window. I'm like, what are you doing? It's out, fool. You went out there three times.
Hey, coming up, we will discuss this Dallas Mavericks move. They're going all in. High risk, high reward move for Kyrie Irving. What say you if you're a Mavericks fan? Is this what needed to happen? Or is this a risk you shouldn't have taken?
How about Kevin Durant? He's thinking about getting out of here.
KD might be the next on the move.
I got to believe
the deadline.
Ty, you think he may be back to OKC? Why don't I go to the Wizards? Time to go home. You'll be the guy there, right? I mean,
well,
that's where he's from.
Phoenix. Phoenix is going to come hard for him. You know, Phoenix wants to win a championship. They were in the finals a year ago. I mean, there's been I've seen a lot of reporting, and again, this is just speculative, but that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are still tight, and that they may end up in Houston this offseason with the lousy Rockets, who have all the cap space and maybe the first overall pick potentially. But again, we'll follow that. We'll get into the NBA side of it. We'll also get into this. You know, when the Longhorns go to Tuscaloosa this coming September, Longhorns playing at Alabama. We know Alabama's coordinators have been hired. Tommy Reese from Notre Dame, the 30-year-old offensive coordinator, former Notre Dame quarterback, and then Kevin Steele coming back to Alabama.
He's been around for a while.
He's been
Kevin
a bit.
Steele, yeah.
He was at Miami. And I talked to a lot of Notre Dame fans over the weekend who say that Tommy Reese is no good. Like, terrible. Like, I'm like, I might watch some Notre Dame, but we'll see. Nick Saban believes in him. He's 30 years old. He's going to give him the reins to that offense, replacing Bill O'Brien. And, of course, O'Brien replaced Steve Sarkisian, who ran that offense to a record-setting.
Well, they're going to get back to the run game.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but it's a passing league. It's a passing country, a passing game right now. We'll see. Does that give you some confidence if you're a Longhorn fan that going on the road with a very veteran team and year three of Steve Sarkisian, could you find a win? You almost had him here. You almost had him beat last year when they were so good here in Austin and you couldn't finish the deal. But yeah, Pete Golding out, Kevin Steele in, Bill O'Brien going back to New England to run Bill Belichick's offense, and Tommy Reese in from Notre Dame. What say you on that? The Mavericks trade, the good, the bad, and the ugly. From the busy weekend, it's a Super Bowl week Monday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Roll me up and smoke me when I die. And if anyone don't like it.
Willie Nelson did not win the Grammy for that song or that album, but he did win the Grammy last night for Best Country Album, which was really cool. Enjoyed that last night. Willie Nelson was not present, though. He is not there to accept his award. Much like Beyonce wasn't there to accept her first award. She was stuck in traffic. It was kind of weird when she got there, she and Jay-Z, because she did win and accepted an award later, which made her the most decorated Grammy recipient of all time. She did her nice speech and was very thankful. But when she got there, apparently Trevor Noah went down, who was hosting, and tried to hand her the trophy. And it was weird, man. She was cold. Like, I don't think she liked him saying she's stuck in traffic or whatever it was. But, you know, Beyonce did win and a lot of winners last night.
How did Trevor Noah do?
He did all right. That's a tough gig. And again, I just tune in for the music. I love the music,
yeah.
And I thought the performances were outstanding last night. And, you know, our friend Tom Gimbel, who joins us on Wednesdays on the Austin City Limits television show, the executive producer of that show is Terry Lacona. And Terry Lacona...
Still producing that deal?
Oh, yeah, and he produces the Grammys. He's part of that team that puts that thing on, and he gets out there like 3 weeks, 4 weeks in advance, and he's talked to us about how difficult that is. I mean, essentially, with all these huge sets and all these big shows, you're putting on, like, five concerts on one night.
Wow.
To do all the production to it. But it was pretty cool. As I said, the highlights were the ode to hip-hop, which I thought was really nice, and they gave Dr. Dre, they gave him an award and named an award after him for being the trailblazer in that field, and I thought Chris Stapleton with Stevie Wonder was outstanding. It was a good show. Good show. It was a great night because ahead of the night, we were very lucky, Travis and Tamara from Hay City Storebuck. They're coming online with their new restaurant in downtown Butte called Taste on Main. And we were a part of a soft opening that they had last night, so we got to get in there and try it out.
They're going to have a little bit of everything there, huh?
you like great steak and seafood and oysters and that ilk, that's going to be your spot. It is tremendous. And, of course, Travis and Tank. You know who was there last night when we were wrapping up? Jack Gilmore from Jack Allen's Kitchen was
nice.
There enjoying a great meal with his wife. And Jack, of
all
course.
All the great chefs around.
Well, because Tamara, who's Travis's wife, Tamara and Jack work together when they, like they all work together downtown at Z-Tejas.
Z-Tejas, yeah.
And that, you go back to Z-Tejas on 6th Street back in the 90s.
Wow.
It's just exploded. I mean, so many of those folks have gone on, the Cover 3 guys, and Jack Gilmore, of course, with all of his. He was the chef there at Z-Tejas back in the day. And so Taste on Main, Tamara worked there, so it's going to be an outstanding spot. Just go to the website. People are asking when it opens. They don't have an official date. That's why they're going through these soft openings to get their crew ready, get their kitchen all lined up, and make sure they're ready to roll. But to keep update with it on TasteOnMain.com.
Travis is doing the mini mullet burger. Yeah.
Oh,
Thursday.
The second mullet open event?
Yeah. For the mini mullet on Thursday, May 4th, he is doing the burgers. I said, that's all I need, brother. Thank you very much.
That's exactly right. Well, Travis is good people. Tamara's great
people.
And you're going to love that spot. I mean, Main Street and Butte is becoming the spot, man, if you live south. I mean, to get down there and so many great restaurants and things opening up down there. Pretty cool. And as we had, because on Friday, Eric Raines, because Coke FM was off the air, but Eric Raines still drove in here. So he hung out with me for a couple hours, and he was mentioning that they're bringing a second event. You know, they do Coke Fest already in August.
Yeah, there'll be one in the fall.
Yeah, Blue Sage Fest is coming to Buda. I can't tell you exactly when, but it's going to be down there. So Buda blowing up down there in south of South Austin, which we're excited about. That was cool last night. Then the Grammys. And no, I did not watch any of the Pro Bowl event.
No.
I did. I was eager to hear Ty's thoughts on this Kyrie Irving trade. It's one of those, you immediately, you know, kind of grit your teeth. Like, oh, really? Kyrie Irving? But at the same time, we were talking for weeks about, man, can you put somebody around Luka? Can you give Luka somebody that's not Spencer Dinwiddie to help him? And poor guy is having an unbelievable season, but he's got no help. And so we'll see. I mean, this is a trial balloon for them. They pulled the trigger. Jason Kidd's got his work cut out for him to try to maximize this opportunity. And the report from Mark Stein is the Mavericks have promised him nothing. They have not promised him a long-term deal because he's a free agent this offseason, and that's part of the reason the Nets traded him is that he turned down a max contract from them last summer. He's going to explore the market, and it sounds like the Mavericks – now, unless they go win the championship or something or make a run, then the Mavs might try to sign him. But the Mavs are saying, let's let this play out. And I guess if it doesn't work, Buck, you let him walk and you can go – because you just traded off two starters.
Sure.
You can try to build from there, I think, because the other part of that is for folks who don't like the trade, Luka Doncic has become more and more frustrated. He's become more and more vocal about, hey, now I've been here 5 years, y'all. Can we go ahead and build a roster? Hey, Mark Cuban, what are we doing? And it's starting to sound a lot like LeBron James when he was in Cleveland for the first 7 years of his career, and you know nothing was moving. They couldn't put the next star around him, and he ended up having to leave to go to Miami to win championships, and then come back to Cleveland to win one. And now we know he's in L.A. And we also know, Buck, he is approaching the all-time scoring mark this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's chancy with Kyrie.
I'm all in.
Oh, don't be all in.
I'm all in. The Mavericks my entire life.
You're all in on Brian Schottenheimer, too.
Nah, not as much.
not as much?
The Mavericks have had the inability to get anybody, any stars through free agency or trades. So the fact that they pulled the trigger on something for a guy that, like we said earlier, is a top five offensive player in the league, I think is huge to take some of the load off Luka.
Well, I think they had to do something. I think that would be the fair point. I mean, I think, you know, this is what you're going for, at least, and then see if it works. If it doesn't, you kind of start over. And you've traded off some good assets, but at the same time, you've cleared up some cap space for the offseason to make a run. And look, maybe because the next shoe to drop is Kevin Durant, because there's talk. I mean, the trade deadline's coming up in the NBA, and that's why this deal gets done. But now there's talk that maybe Kevin Durant's going to ask out, too, that his buddy Kyrie has been traded. And we'll see, because Brooklyn's not going anywhere fast right now. And Kevin Durant's been hurt, right? Is he back?
He's back in the next few weeks. A lot of the reason why the Nets made the trade with the Mavericks instead of the Lakers or Suns is because they wanted to, you know, kind of stopgap this time without KD to still be competitive when he comes back to give him. Because, I mean, this is a team that's still fourth in the East.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Dinwiddie was a former Net. He's a good player. I mean, with Kevin Durant, when he gets healthy, they'll be okay. They still have Ben Simmons, and they'll be all right.
And Dorian Finney-Smith, he was my favorite Maverick. I'm sad to see him go. I mean, he was their defensive leader, but I think he'll do well on that team.
Well, in addition to Big Monday Hoops tonight and what's going on, keep in mind that LeBron James is going to be front and center because he's about to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the all-time leading scorer. You know, I talked about when we first saw Kevin Durant play here, get into the NBA at 19 years old and start lighting it up, that eventually Kevin Durant could be a guy that maybe chases down Kareem's all-time scoring mark. It's actually going to be LeBron. And pretty incredible the career he's had for almost 20 years. He will he'll break a record a lot of people didn't think was breakable when he came into the league. And here's how great that is. I mean, three people have held that. Wilt Chamberlain was the all-time leading scorer in NBA history until Kareem broke it in the 80s.
Yep.
And it's stood all that time, that scoring mark for Kareem, since the early 80s with the Showtime Lakers. At the end of his career, he set that. And now here comes LeBron, and he's going to break it at some point this week. Now, he's mad or upset because he wanted Kyrie Irving to come to L.A., and obviously the Mavericks outbid the Lakers and the Suns to get him to Dallas. But Lakers aren't much around LeBron right now, especially when Anthony Davis misses his games like he always does. But that's amazing, Buck, to come in this league at 18 and end up the leading scorer all time.
Yeah, well, we watched him when he was a kid. So.
High school, yeah. Well, from 16 years old on the cover of Sports Illustrated as the chosen one, and I know LeBron's not the most popular player, but look, when you're in the limelight like that for so long, you're going to do things and say things that people don't like, and it's just because you're so omnipresent for so long, but it's hard to argue. The guy's never been in trouble off the court.
Nope.
I mean, people get mad at his politics, and they get mad at some certain things, but, you know, the move to South Beach and taking his talents and some of that stuff, but man, he's an all-timer. I mean,
and what he's done for his community,
yeah,
no matter where he's been.
Yeah, not only has he never been a problem off the field or off the court as far as, you know, being in trouble, yeah, he's also done a lot to help educate people in Akron and young people and all the scholarships he's given out and provided. I mean, he's a special player, and he'll break the record this week. But they're not going to win another championship with LeBron, it doesn't appear, in L.A. But those are the top stories this morning. Longhorns with a huge win. Grammys were last night. Nobody watched the Pro Bowl, and we're getting ready for the Super Bowl.
Somebody watched it. Somebody watched all that stuff, all that fun stuff,
flag football, grabbing flags. Dodgeball. I don't know. DeMario Davis won the dodgeball. I saw that. And he hit.
Weren't there obstacle courses and things like that?
He hit Saquon Barkley in the head, and Saquon was not happy.
There were some things that were cool, but they got to figure something out to incentivize this to make the players actually care about it.
Did you
just go to Hawaii, have a trip? See you later. Come back.
I will
home.
Say this: I did watch a little clip of the dodgeball, and to watch Saquon Barkley dodge the balls. I mean, his feet.
It's pretty quick, huh?
My gosh! And his sides with those big old calves, those big old quads, and for him to be able to dart and dodge and move. I mean, you see him on the football field, but you watch him in shorts, and you know, people got him dead to rights, and he
got creamed. Like he got creamed one time.
He got hit in the face,
In the head?
I was happy to see they used real dodgeballs.
They did.
Like the heavy plastic ones.
Well, Saquon was mad because it was DeMario Davis hit him, and he thought, "We can't, no headshots. He should be out. I should be winning."
And he got him right in the head, huh?
Well, he was leaning
back. In the
back.
Face.
He leaned into it, essentially. But, yes, it was a headshot. It hit him in the up over his chest, right up into his chin. But, yeah, that's what they do for the Pro Bowl now. I wish they weren't calling it the Pro Bowl. Just call it whatever. But Super Bowl is what everyone's getting ready for. Eagles and Chiefs will start to do that. Of course, our man Super Bowl Stu Myrick has got our Radio Row spot all set up and ready to go down there at Phoenix, Arizona, Glendale, Arizona.
Now, he's not at the golf, though. The golf is this week, too.
Yeah,
Waste Management.
Waste Management.
Everybody will be playing in this tournament, as a matter of fact.
Well, the PGA Tour's got to wrap up today with the event at Pebble Beach because the weather delays. They're going to have to go into this morning.
Dude, those dudes look cold ending that thing yesterday. So I can imagine getting up this morning in daylight. When it's like 40 degrees playing. Hey, I couldn't figure out what they were going to do with those shots. You know, do you want to make that putt in the morning? I know you want to get off the tee box now before the night ended last night. It was like dark, and they said, no, we want to come off of this. We don't want to get up early in the morning and make the first thing we have to do is drive off a tee box, you know? We're nice and we're warm enough now. Let's do it now.
The weather and that area can be finicky, and it has been this year. It's been a very rainy season in Chicago, in California anyhow.
Yep.
And they've been dealing with that. It says Saquon did win. That headshot was disqualified. I guess I changed the channel to not see the replay because he did get hit in the head. And I guess they went and watched it. I guess Saquon did win. So there you go. Appreciate that text on the Specs text line. Coming back, T.Y. will lead us through some hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through a very busy Monday morning. That'll be top of the hour halfway through our four as we roll on. B&E, good, bad, and ugly here on the Horn.
What's hot?
and what's not.
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not on a back at it Monday. Hope everybody has made it through. I know there's still thousands of people in homes without power, but a majority of folks back to normal. Sounds like from Don Miller traffic, back to normal this morning as people are up and out to start the second week of February. Go ahead and get that rolling. Get ready for tonight. Speaking of hot, it's Big Monday Hoops for the third week in a row. Texas, a featured attraction on Big Monday on ESPN. Of course, they beat Baylor last Monday. This is an opportunity at Fog Allen Fieldhouse to complete the Kansas two-step. Beating K-State on Saturday with that tremendous second half. We'll recap that coming up in our headlines. Also, the Mavericks swinging the big deal. Are you hot on it or not? That's the question on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. And how about both Texas men and women, Buck, in the
how about that?
First place, 9-2 for the Texas women for Vic Schaefer's team. They won at Kansas on Saturday. Texas men, 8-2. And, boy, if they were to win tonight, golly, they would be 9-2 and clear of, gosh, there's one team, one game back, and that's Iowa State.
Dude, Iowa State thumped Kansas pretty good Saturday
pretty good.
Now.
Now, Texas has taken a loss already at Iowa State, if you remember, but Texas still gets the return visit with Iowa State here. So, I mean, there's an opportunity there. That's why I say you win all your home games and then split on the road in the Big 12, you're feeling great. The Longhorns have a chance to do that because they lost a home game to K-State, but they got it back. They went on the road and stole that win back. So they're in line right now to do some great things. I think Rodney Terry's doing a heck of a job. You'll hear him coming up in our headlines, but I just love the idea that with these players today who have grown up on their phones and watching videos, that they can cut up snippets and show them at halftime actual videos of the turnovers they made and the shots they missed and the defensive lapses they've had. And the players, they're actually able to see it, and they're such a veteran team, Buck, that they're so receptive to it. I think that's a big part of why we're seeing them play so much better in the second half.
If you're a visual learner, that is fantastic. Get those answers for yourself right there within the game.
Yeah, within the game, whether it's Snapchat or Instagram or TikTok. I mean, they're used to watching these videos, and they get into the locker room, they're able to look at it. And Christian Bishop, I heard him on the postgame show after the game on Saturday saying, hey, it's big to be able to see where my footwork was poor, see what I just wasn't being aggressive enough, and I could see it. And, I didn't want to be that player. So the second half, he was a totally different guy. He was unbelievable in that second half, all 14 of his points. He was tremendous. Ty, what do you have for us in our hot or not, my friend?
Well, Leo DiCaprio, back in the news after he has been seen getting cozy with a 19-year-old model, Eden Polani. And he usually, cuts off his relationships at 25 with his romantic partners. But he's never gone this young, and he's about 50 years old. So I had to get y'all's thoughts on if this is creepy or
it's
acceptable.
Creepy.
How creepy?
Tell me the age gap.
29 years.
How old is he?
50.
So he's
close to 50.
Like 49.
Okay. It's creepy.
You said she's a model?
Yes. She's attractive. She doesn't look 19.
She doesn't
No, that's what she said.
That's what they all
said.
She
told me she was 27.
And who is this dating a 19-year-old?
Leo DiCaprio.
Oh, come on. That's par for the course here.
No, I'm saying this is younger than he's ever gone.
No, he doesn't need to be that. No. Well,
he's got 6 years, and then she'll be 25, and time to move on.
That's creepy.
How long will this go on for, though? Do you think he'll ever... Has he ever been married?
Leo DiCaprio? No. No, he's not. But he's never had a girlfriend over 25. Like, he trades them in right when they get... he's 48. So, 19. You say she doesn't look 19?
No.
Oh, that's what they all say, Ty.
No, she...
She told me she was 27.
She looks at least 25.
Remember, Clooney eventually settled down, and he's still
married. It's true, he did. That's right.
Finally did. But I don't know. I didn't anticipate that for Leo. He kind of likes... He's setting his ways.
Is he setting a new benchmark, though?
At least 21, Leo. Come on now.
Yes. They have so much in common.
That would just be weird for me if... I was a 50-year-old man, and I was going to dinner with my girlfriend, and she couldn't legally have a drink.
You had to sneak a drink to her?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm with my dad. Do you mind if I have a drink with my dad? Sure.
I got to know this. Her name is Victoria Lamas.
No. That's his former romance. This one.
Eden Polani.
Yes. He was recently with Gigi Hadid as well. She's also a model.
Also a model. Well, he has a type. There's no doubt about it. And he lives up to the Matthew McConaughey line in the what's the movie?
Oh, High School Girls, man. They Wait, I keep getting older.
I keep getting older, and they stay the same age.
Oh, all right, all right, all right.
Yeah, I have to, he's got a type, and he's locked in. You ain't changing that. Old dog, new tricks kind of things, bro.
She can't even get in a club with him. She has to go through the back door.
He's Leo, though.
The 18 and up club.
God.
They got those in Miami.
He is Leo.
Well, I will say I have a daughter who's 20. I'd be beyond concerned.
Beyond?
Yes. 48-year-old guy my age, for crying out loud. Are you kidding me? All right, we'll be back. B&E on the Horn. It's a Monday. Thank you, Ty, for Hot or Not. We'll get back into the top stories, including the Longhorns. Big Monday hoops tonight here on the Horn. It's B&E on 104.9, 101, 9 a.m., 1260. We're streaming always on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.